taken the oath to defend the Constitution, to put their lives on the line if need be, and at the end they signed it off with that slogan as sort of a way to get others to do the same thing, and it took hold right around 4th of
July. Angela,
we
have 10 seconds. What are you looking for at the Republican National Convention this week?
I think a lot of it's going to be a wink and a nod to what we're seeing in the fever swamps of the right wing. I would just note that power right now is really being organized on what we would have once sort of considered the fringes. And I think being able to draw those dots is something that I'm going to be paying much, much close attention to.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us, Angela Carrasone, president of Media Matters, which monitors right wing misinformation in the U.S. media. That does it for our show. We'll be with you all week covering the Republican National Convention from Charlotte to the White House. Tune in to our Breaking with Convention series. I'm Amy Goodman. Wear a mask. Stay safe.
It is KBOO Portland, and it is 8 a.m., and it is Monday. It's time for more talk radio with your hosts, Cecil and Celeste. Stay tuned. Oh, we'll just take it away, kids. You're on.
Okay.
Couldn't find the music, huh? Okay. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Good morning. You're listening to your community connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in Hood River, Oregon, White Salmon, Washington, and in Philomath, it's 104.3. On the World Wide Web, KBOO.FM. Good morning, Susan.
Hey, good morning, Celeste. I was talking to a friend last night, and they wanted to know what we would talk about today, and they suggested a couple of topics. And I said, well, I could probably talk to one, but Celeste could talk on the other. One was... they mentioned Steve Bannon, and the other was QAnon. And I said, well, Celeste is into conspiracy theories. That's beyond my range.
I kind of keep my distance on QAnon. Some of the things that I've read on there have made me laugh because it's like, gee, if y'all would read a doggone book or a newspaper that's actually demonstrating credibility, you might not believe that. Or, you know, you just had talked to another human being that maybe walked in a different set of social and cultural situations. You might not think that. Other ones I've said, that's a thought, you know, because, well, some conspiracy theories, they click closer to home than others. But no, I try to keep my distance because, see, you can get caught up in those things. You know, they're the rabbit hole. But I told myself what I would talk about, though, today is something that might make people sit up and say, was the fact that they're rushing to okay this plasma-based COVID treatment for people who have recovered. And I'm thinking, that's too big of a rush. I don't know how I feel about that. And then when I read that they were especially, and here's how they did it. They said inviting people of color, brown people, melanated people to participate in this trial. I'm thinking to myself, did you say invite, or is this like a corralling and using us as guinea pigs? And that concerned me, because I wondered how many people were so tired of the lockdown and so tired of the constraints regarding this whole COVID pandemic that they were willing to try it. Because I, even though I don't practice nursing anymore, I still try to keep up with some elements. And I have serious doubts about this. I don't know that it's not effective, but I don't feel comfortable with the rush, and especially when you have Trump advocating that we hurry up and use this so we can open up economy and commerce and schools and what have you. That makes me a little uneasy, because after all, this is the man who, and I won't even talk about the medicines. This is the man who advocated maybe people might inject bleach, you know? I'm just saying. How can I have faith in him?
I wonder, you know, the day before he made this announcement, he was criticizing the FDA for slowing down the vaccination, because they wanted to delay it until after the election, because they were all against them. So the next day, I guess, he just, you know, pushed this also. So I just saw a headline last night. I haven't read anything about it, and so I don't have any opinion one way or the other. But I think the point a concern I have is the politicization of these medical practices and things that might be helpful. And again, I think it would be so much useful if we had the politicians step aside and let us, you know, follow the medical authorities and their advice. So I'm less apt to trust politicians who are concerned about their next election than medical professionals. But also, you know, as you alluded to, in terms of how medical establishment have used and exploited oppressed communities in the past, and there is some worry or cynicism about that as well. So those are some of my thoughts.
Well, one thing we do want to do is invite people to call in. Now, before we go, I wanted to, last week, while you were taking a much deserved and I hope enjoyed vacation, we covered some alternatives to the U.S. Postal Service for getting your ballot in. And this is no attack on the Postal Service, rather recognizing that they've been hobbled by, again, political action. And we talked about how things like constituency action was helpful in bringing pressure to the the political attempts to hobble the post office, but also looking to organize community collections, taking advantage of official drop boxes, or even just taking your ballot into your local election commission and dropping it off. And so I want to remind people that organizations like democracydocket.com and vote.org are out there to give you some supporting information on how to get your ballot early and then how to get it counted, how to get it delivered early. So I do want to say that too.
Yeah, it's important in terms of the elections are coming up in, 70 days or so? It's very important. And for those of you who are listening in Oregon and Washington and California, we've had mail-in ballots in Oregon for 20 years, so it's nothing new, but I think all people should be aware of, one, to make sure you receive a ballot, so you can check and see if you are registered, and that's fairly easy to do by calling your county's election department, or online to check, and then to make sure that you receive a ballot. And there are many ways in which you can make sure that the ballot is received by the election headquarters, and you need to do so as soon as possible to make sure that that your vote is counted. Which is strange enough because, you know, one of the strange dreams I had last night was it was election night, and was watching the news, and they were declaring a candidate was winning, and I was wondering, oh, is that true? And then of course I woke up and it was all the dreams. I won't tell you what candidate they declared was winning, but you know, you need to vote.
Hey, you know what? We yeah, don't tell us. I mean, life right about now is strange enough as it is. It's like, yeah, I'm hearing you, because even if it was the candidate of our choice, regardless of whoever that might be, I'm sure a few of us would not be happy if you were wrong. You know, you don't want that burden.
Well, folks, we do have a call.
Okay, well, let me give the phone number for everybody else who might not be as quick on the pickup. It's 503-231-8187. And this is More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott and myself, Celeste Carey. Good morning.
Go ahead, James. You're live.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
So I think everybody has a right to be concerned about this vaccine that they're really rushing. I find it, the way I look at it is, you know, you look at most diseases, I mean, they talk about years for a timeline for a vaccine, not months. And especially because of the fact that everything around it is surrounding private corporations, I think the one thing that people don't really talk about is the systematic defunding of the government. I mean, it's probably the most egregious lately with the post office, but people really don't talk about how how the last 40 years has just been a deregulation of the government, you know, reallocating funds, defunding, whatever you want to call it, taking things away from welfare, away from Section 8, all these safety nets that provide relief and assistance to people. And now we're coming at the tail end of it to where now it's to the point where, you know, it was governments that funded research for, it was the government that funded and backed research for vaccines. And now we've got private corporations who, you know, most of the ones that Trump is giving money to, there was one that hadn't produced a single vaccine in like 20, 30 years. But got all this money to produce a vaccine. You know, it's just, I mean, this administration, you know, more egregiously than the last three or four, is giving away money at a rate and with such blatant, that's the word I'm looking for, such blatant disregard for, you know, like the, I guess for the establishment's way of, you know, kind of doing things underhanded. Like, you know, the only difference between Trump and most other administrations is that he's saying all the quiet parts out loud. You know, I think that's why
James, I think you made a very good point as you began your remarks by putting it in the context of what's been happening in the last 40 years. Since the election of Ronald Reagan, there's been a systematic devaluation and destruction of government by both Republican and Democratic administrations. And as we come to the tail end, we see some of the end results of it and how we continue to suffer as government and responsibility grew in terms of working for people from the time of FDR through Lyndon Johnson and even Richard Nixon administration. We saw the economy grow. We saw the middle class increase. And since the devolution of those responsibilities and those philosophy, we are seeing the ever persistent destruction of those safeguards that our parents and grandparents relied on, and we are in a tailspin right now.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting, you know, you brought up FDR, you know, lots of people kind of place him in this, lots of people, history as the United States has written it, kind of places him in this space where he was like this, he was this very, like, generous benefactor of the oligarch class that just had a change of heart. And most people don't realize that, you know, it was mass movements that caused FDR to move. You know, it was the old CIO, it was the American Communist Party, it was, you know, it was the trade unions that, you know, that spanned all races, that really formed together and really pushed against the establishment. It was to the point that he realized, you know, hey, we're going to have a revolution if you don't provide some relief. And I think that that's what a lot of people are missing right now. Like, I don't shame anybody for not voting right now. You know, I mean, me personally, like, I'll cast a vote for Biden, but only as Cornel West would say, I'm casting a vote for a neoliberal disaster to block a neo-fascist catastrophe. But we still have to understand, you know, it's like I tell people, like, don't hold your nose and vote. Vote with intention. Say, you know, like, tell, you know, I mean, like, say it to the ballot as you're turning it in. Like, I know who you are. I know what you're capable of, but I also know what this guy is capable of. So I'm more willing to fight you than I am to fight him. You know, it just bugs me that people are fetishizing the vote as if Biden didn't sign off on NAFTA, as if he didn't sign off on the omnibus crime bill, the gutting of Glass-Steagall, you know, all these things, and not to mention the fact that he likes to go on about his civil rights work. He was working with Southern segregationists to stop busing. I mean, it's unreal that people will sit here and just, it's like the lies they have to tell themselves. You don't have to lie about Biden's record in order to vote for him. Say, look, he's a terrible guy, but I would rather not fight Trump. But understand that we're still going to have to fight. You know, Biden and Harris aren't going to make, you know, it's going to take people pushing against them to make them make the right decisions. Just voting for them is not going to fix the problem.
Yes, and yes, as you and as, ahead, as you reminded us, James, in terms of the push for FDR and how mass movement forced that very centrist politician to move somewhat towards the progressive end. And I think it's very wise of what you said, and also to recognize that the end all and be all of so-called democracy is not voting on a certain day every 4 years or every couple of years, but it's a continuing action, a mass movement of people, and that's so important to remember. I appreciate your words and your wisdom, James.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for facilitating the conversation. Thank you.
Take care. You know, one of the things about this whole concept of holding your nose and voting is that we should not formulate our decisions based on this whole concept of lesser of two evils. But to kind of paraphrase what James has said, who can you take the chance of having a or maybe have the best chance, rather, of having a dialogue with, you know. And this is a good time to kind of force their hand. Not everybody is thrilled with this ticket. One of the things that rapper Ice Cube had said, what's in it for black folks, you know, because he listened to all of the conversations and rhetoric and what have you with the 3 days of the Democratic National Convention. He says, okay, this is all fine and good, and we've sung Kumbaya, and everybody has, as he said, thrown their hands up in the air like they just don't care. You know, he says, but when it comes down to it, what's really in it for black folks? And it's not that that is the only criteria by which to judge the potential efficacy or effectiveness or empathy that can, you know, come out of their ticket, but he's got a point. You know, a lot of this is based on, we won't be as bad as the next guy because we're going to try to make it, you know, better. But if you don't see any concrete effect coming out of this, don't despair just yet. Just assume that, and I shouldn't say just assume, what I should say is just prepare for having dialogue with this other administration, because you have the opportunity, a better opportunity at least than you have had with the Trump administration.
Certainly. And speaking of that, and just being aware of the reality, the political realities, and what you have to say and what you have to do, and not believing that, you know, Nirvana will suddenly arrive if you vote for one candidate as opposed to the other. I don't know whether or not you happen to catch the interview on ABC with Biden and Harris last night. I thought it was, you know, one takeaway I thought was, my gosh, how very political and measured their language are. But also, yes. I wonder if anyone noticed what I thought was Biden mansplaining a couple of times when Senator Harris was speaking. And I hope someone pulled him aside and say, that, no. It's sort of like, if I noticed that, I imagine women sort of like saw that as well. I found that somewhat disturbing, but you know, I wasn't, you know, it might have been the editing or what have you, but it just, I was somewhat put off by some of the way he tried to speak over and tried to explain what she was really saying.
Yeah, as if she wasn't fluent in speaking white American. And I got quotations all around that, you know, she needed a translator because she's, you know, she's a newcomer to mainstream. You know what it means. It's like, it's one of those yuck moments, as well as that concept of mansplaining, that make you recognize that this is not the perfect ticket. Myself, right. I would have preferred Stacey Abrams, but they didn't ask me. They did not ask me. I don't know what I did wrong.
And what did you like about Stacey Abrams?
Well, one thing is that she has the ability to connect with people and speak of real needs with empathy. And I'm not going to say that she has a cleaner, quote unquote, record than Kamala Harris does, for, you know, from her past job as the prosecutor in San Francisco area. But I will say that I like her progressive grassroots empathies and concerns and efforts to edify, you know, to build up people. I really appreciated that. I chuckle when people say that Kamala Harris is not black enough. I think you and I were laughing over that yesterday because she went to a black college and joined a sorority. And even though it's just one aspect of black life, going to a black college and joining a black sorority is pretty black. I don't think she just decided to be black, you know, as some people have alluded. But I feel that her polish has come at a price. Her high visibility and her perhaps more mainstream and again, in quotation, stronger political connections, that visibility and all that has come to a price of her authenticity and level of empathy and understanding about what it's like when you are both a person of color and lower income or less, you have less opportunities. You know, she's every woman in one sense, but she's not in another. And I felt that Stacey had not only the intellect and the integrity and the connections with the everyday people, but she was just a lot more progressive in terms of what kind of social social services and human services that people needed right now to actually get economies and neighborhoods back and booming. But that's, like I said, that was my opinion, and they didn't call me.
You know who did call? You know who called us?
Who called us, Sonia?
Robbie.
All righty.
Go ahead, Robbie, you're live.
Good morning. I really would have loved to see Stacey Abrams. And unfortunately, like, my view is the same reason a person like Stacey Abrams will never get to even the nomination field is the same reason Bernie Sanders had it rigged against him. It's too progressive is what the words you said. And I think that's what this system, I think that's what we're seeing with the system. They literally rigged an election, and they try to, you know, they say, oh, well, we have to do this unity thing. And then when it comes, you know, like, oh, we have a choice of all these great candidates. And then it comes to the nomination, we get Joe Biden, and then we're told, oh, well, you have to vote for him now. And they've done that for, I mean, as long as I've seen, you know, ever since 1968, there is a huge Democratic National Convention outrage where you know, it's just history repeating itself, which is very unfortunate. But I did want to bring up that you said QAnon earlier, and it's remarkable stuff. I was reading about, you know, I know all about QAnon from when it first formed, and I do read that stuff because I talk to these conspiracy theorists, all sorts of right wing people, and the thing is. When you read it, you know, you can come up with the hypocrisies right away. When they try to tell you, like, oh, hey, we're, you know, there's pedophiles out there, you know, Trump's gonna save the children, you know, he's got, you know, all this, and then a person like me will have a conversation and be like, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump has a lawsuit with Jeffrey Epstein, you know, he got sued and literally paid a cash settlement to an underage girl, you know, for, you know, whatever sexual abuse. You know, or the instance of, in this case, lots of sexual misconduct, you know, sexual assault in the ICE facility centers, and and also, you know, and this is a funny conspiracy theory, but Wayfair. I don't know if you heard about the whole child trafficking with that.
Trafficking in so many different areas, and just to kind of put the nail in the coffin on Trump and. Any illusion that he might be the savior of children, he visited Epstein's Island.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so it's funny watching these people try to answer their question, you know, answer my question about, you know, like, how is Trump not a rich, you know, pedophile? And knowing, you know, it's like they'll be like, oh yeah, you know, the government's gonna drain the swamp, and then it's like, well, the ICE, you know, DHS, you know, has lots of cases of, you know, abusing migrants in detention. The contract work DynCorp, which has been accused of sexual trafficking, our government gives contracts to. And so it's really interesting watching this idea that these QAnon folk think that right now this administration is going to get rid of all these pedophiles, but the same exact government agencies that, you know, they're saying are going to do this are also the ones that are right on the forefront of it. And so it's a good way to throw it right back in their face when you kind of understand where it is that they're coming from, and you can engage in that talk and be like, how is it you're saying, you know, Trump's going to do this when he's literally a part of this? And so anyway, that was when I first heard y'all talking about it, was interesting to me. I follow that story closely, so, you know, I can engage in conversations with them.
Well, how do you keep from the toxic effects of, you know, wallowing in that particular swamp? That stuff rubs off on you. You know, too much of anything is bad.
Absolutely. That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I don't want to, I mean, honestly, to be, you know, I absorb all information, and it's really funny because a lot of people, I feel we've come to a very, and this is a little bit off topic, I don't want to go off onto it too much, but I feel right now, left and right, there's two media narratives on the mass media front, and they provide these narratives. And in the middle, the truth is getting obscured. And then what we have is talking points from the left and the right, and we're never able to get anywhere. So I do, I'll watch Fox News and I'll watch CNN News. I don't like them both, but what happens is I'm able to see the same story reported on both of their, you know, networks, and I can decipher through what are these talking points. And then I can, you know, I don't know, find other news stories, or, you know, listen to Democracy Now! On KABU, and, you know, and hear a little bit more of the truth, you know, what's in the middle. But, yeah. Anyway, thank you for the topic and the conversation and hearing me out.
Yes,
have a good morning.
Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you so much. So you are listening to KB. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You got it. Your turn.
I was just going to remind people that they are listening to KBOO FM, More Talk Radio with Celeste, and I am Cecil. We invite your calls. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We are reflecting on several things this morning relating to politics. We had an interesting conversation just now with someone who certainly gave me some information about right-wing conspiracy theory and its impact on society and on people. We've also had some reflection about the candidates for presidents of the United States and the importance of voting and what is the nature of the democratic process. You might have some thoughts, you might have some wisdom to share about these topics, or maybe veered off, I prefer a little bit to the left maybe, but in any case, give us a call and share your wisdom with us. We would like to hear, and others would like to hear what you have to share as well.
We've got Anna.
503-231-8187, and who's that, Sonia?
We've got Anna on the line.
Anna. Good morning,
Anna.
Hey guys.
So I am, I almost want to say unfortunately, I am unfortunately calling about Q also.
Okay, we're headed down. Okay, go ahead.
So this is one of those things, right? Like, you know, you want to be an open-minded person, but you don't want to be so open-minded that your brain falls out. So I have a lot of really right-wing family on in my family, that like super right-wing people, and they started with this Q early. So we're in 4chan, we're in 8chan. I'm looking at these, they're called Q posts. And this is where I realized it's obviously a LARP. LARP is an acronym it's like a live action role play, just for people that are completely new to the subject. This reference that this guy was getting married in one of these Q posts, he said something and Q responded, and everybody, you know, their ears perk up and everybody looks into it, and he made this reference. Irish Anon was getting married, and he made this reference to a Dink song by Green Mind. And it's just like, if you look into the belief system of these Q believers, they believe in, like, that there's these Luciferians out there that do all this naughty Luciferian stuff. And Luciferians use these symbols, very heavy in the symbolism. And, but this music video is so heavy in the symbolism that they supposedly oppose, it's like, there's real research that needs to be done. And there's real things that really happened in history. You know, there's old money, and there's old belief systems, there's old religions, and there's an ancient hope, and all of those things are real, right? And so Q is like playing on the realities. You know, within every good lie is just a wince of truth. So I just wanted to put that out there for people. Do your research. Hanging out on YouTube watching videos is not research. And I love you guys, and I really appreciate you allowing this venue and facilitating this, and I'll take your response off there, but sending love out there, guys. All right,
thank you for your call. Well, you know, first and foremost, it's not us that allows this venue on the air. It's all the people who financially support KBOO. Even if all of you've got is a couple of dollars a month, that really counts. And that makes you part of our informed democracy, because KBOO as a non-commercial, non-corporate entity is a community effort at keeping everybody informed. And I want to thank everybody who does support KBOO and ask them to continue to do so. You know, I introduced Cecil to QAnon, so... I'll take some of the blame for that, but it's like I told him, I said, hey, this is something that's coming down the pike. You might want to watch it. And I think it's when I started talking about incels and, oh gosh, I'm trying to remember the one professor who has since kind of faded from his 15 minutes of fame, Canadian professor, I can't think of his name right now, who used to defend them. And people were just awed by this professor, and speaking of his depth of wisdom, when really what he was good at doing was painting these sandcastles in the air. And there was not always a lot of meat on his thoughts. Q and I believe in quite a few of what I will call some both old religions as well as twisted ideas on politics, some of which based on white supremacy, some of which are based on some of their political hopes and dreams of what they wish would happen. I'm not going to say that everything that they believe is wrong or false, but I will say that, just like our caller said, it really bears a lot of research. And I'll go back to what I said at the beginning. You know, some credible media sources, books, newspapers, magazines have a conversation with people who have a lived experience that's, you know, contrary to what they assert as reality. You know, things like that is what you have to do, because you fall down that rabbit hole and it is very seductive.
Hey, thanks, Celeste. The person you were talking about was Jordan Peterson. Sonia reminded us. And William is on the line.
All righty. Good morning, William.
Hey, good morning, Celeste. Good morning, Cecil. Thanks for being here for us. I wanted to just talk about voting for a moment. And I speak as someone who didn't vote for many years. And then I met my wife, and she convinced me to vote. And I think one of the things that kind of kept me from voting is that it didn't appear to me that it made much difference. However, I've been around long enough that I started to see that, for example, a policy that might be introduced in 1980 didn't have like really visible, obvious, impactful effects for maybe 5 or 10 years. It was like, oh, okay, so you know, that gave me a little more incentive to vote. But here's the thing. Here's where I'm at today. There is one and only one reason I encourage every human being on this planet to vote. Self-respect. You matter.
Say that again.
Self-respect.
Oh, okay.
You matter. You make a difference. You are important. We should hear from you. Please vote. Please participate.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I'll take it a step further and say, yeah, it may seem like it doesn't have much of an effect, but when you look at voting, especially at your local levels and your state levels, it can make a difference. And that's how you get the difference forced up to the top. You know, you build a solid foundation. Yes,
yeah.
Technology and politics and various factions have found ways to corrupt and control the vote. That's true. But they rarely are as successful with the local levels of voting because people see them and they can hold these folks accountable. And, you know, and you keep that pressure up from the bottom and it will shake the top. So, you know, I agree with you on that. What do you think, Cecil?
Yeah, so I think it's so important. And for me, at least, it was in terms of the importance of voting was from my family history and being unable on my mother's side to vote because of those rules in the South that blacks were not able to vote. And so it was press on me how important it was and to recognize the how much people have done to allow us to vote. So it's become a ritual, a sacrament, even in terms of religious language. But also I think it's, I want to also say that voting is not the end all and be all in democracy. And if we think that, okay, I put my vote in, then it's done, I think we're missing the point, and we're falling prey to larger powers. We must remain vigilant. We must go and attend those school board meetings, city council hearings, talk to our legislators, talk to our neighbors, and learn what it means to be a citizen. A citizen is more than just voting one day, once a year. A citizen, yeah. A member of our society, is to engage with one another to, in all ways possible, to make it better.
Ooh, ooh,
yeah.
I've got a metaphor.
Oh, yeah. What's the metaphor, Sonia?
Democracy is like a band. You've got the people who are, or a choir. You know, you got the altos, the tenors, the sopranos, and the bassos, and everyone's got their part to play. There are people who vote. There are people who attend or engage civically with the board meetings and city council meetings, and there are people who are out in the streets, you know, with direct action, and all the other ways. And it takes all of them. Another metaphor is the flashlight. It's got a casing, it's got batteries, it's got a switch, and it's got a bulb. All of those are necessary, but if even one is missing, the whole thing doesn't work.
Yeah, very good.
All right. Well, you know, one thing about the band, everybody still has to vote. There can't be one voter. Well, everybody still must vote. But I do thank you for your call. I think you're right on point. Self-respect is a key element, you know. Think that you do matter, you know, even if the larger governing powers might tell you that you don't, believe that you do matter and go out and vote. Because I'm like Cecil, you know, I come from people who were denied the vote, and a good part of my heritage as indigenous Native American. And that's kind of ironic that you're from this place, but they want to tell you that you can't vote. So it use the power that it does have and build more power into it.
Yep. Yeah, thank you again, both of you. I really appreciate it. All of you, thank you.
All righty, thank you for your call. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Celeste Carey. I'm here with Cecil Prescott. Today we've been talking about the rushed COVID plasma-based, I don't know if I should call it vaccine. I certainly won't call it a cure. Maybe treatment is more accurate. And then just talking about, at the top of the show, we mentioned some ways to make sure that your ballot was counted, meaning start early, ask for your ballot now, make sure you're properly registered, get your ballot in early by delivering it either back to the commission yourself or looking at how you can have some official ways of doing community collections and drop-off. And don't forget the alternative official drop boxes. And you can find more information at democracydocket, I believe it's democracydocket.com, and vote, vote.org. The phone number is 503-231-8187. Join us in conversation. Well, we got roughly, I'd say, maybe 13, 12 minutes left.
We have Barry waiting to speak with us.
All right, thank you. Good morning, Barry.
Sorry about my voice, but just very quickly, I couldn't bow out on this. It's a responsibility. I wouldn't vote for the fellow. He's running up against Trump. Senator Sanders would be the much best vote. Maybe he could be drafted. I would hope so. There are a lot of good people to protect him if he gets into government and all. Also, if I could find out if anybody is calling in about Israel and moving down to the Palestinians.
Well, we're not talking about that topic today, Barry, but I do appreciate the fact that you mentioned, you know, Sanders as being, in your estimation, a more appropriate candidate. As a matter of procedure and based on general principle, Alexandria Cortez, AOC, did nominate him for the, or did submit him for the nomination, rather. So you're not the only one to think so. And there are a lot of people who believe that Biden, you know, had it locked because he's the safe choice. But as many of our callers have indicated, they have misgivings, but that's the way the machinery runs. But they have more hope that he might be more approachable and amenable to what's really needed by the people as opposed to the Trump administration, which, you know, if his followers were really able to have a critical analysis of what he's doing, they realize he's hurting them too. But he's cast a spell over them, so to speak, and they're not paying attention. But thank you for your call. I won't tax your voice anymore, but thank you for your call.
Thank you, Barry. And I also want to acknowledge that Senator Sanders is endorsing Joe Biden. So for those who are Sanderites or I'd be interested in hearing what your thoughts are, because Senator Sanders is asking those who supported him to vote for Biden. But we have Francis on the phone right now and has some wisdom for us. Good morning, Francis.
I don't know about wisdom. I'm kind of emotional this morning. I agree that Biden, who wrote the crime bill, is not necessarily the greatest choice to be president. However, as someone has said, I think that he will be one that will be open to discussion. Right now, I want to know, and I think he is the only one who will possibly directly address things that, like what happened yesterday in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
The man who was shot in the back at point blank range, getting into his car where his young sons were. And the trauma that those children are going through right now, I can't imagine. Also, he has survived. He survived. He's in the hospital fighting for his life. Mm-hmm. But the fact that that stuff, while we're having the nationwide discussion about police misconduct, that that can still happen, and it happened yesterday afternoon, is, I don't know what to call it. You know, when people talk about Lucifer, there it is, right there.
That's mind-boggling. Between the one in Wisconsin and the shooting in, I think it was Louisiana, that's one reason why I tried to pick something different for a topic, because, you know, there's only so much. I can't take too much more of that trauma. I've been having my own breakdowns behind it, because I feel like open season of brown people, and I'm anxious.
That's the only reason that Biden and Harris, who also has her history with the criminal justice system, but they're both aware, and I think that's the only place we'll get any kind of discussion about this. We won't get it with the current administration at all. So here we go.
I think it might be interesting, Francis, in talking about this, is for people who have the stamina to listen to the Republican convention this week and hear what they have to say about so-called law and order.
Contrasted
with
the
other
convention. There is only one choice, and that's a hopeful choice, pretty much the way I'm going to call it, rather than holding my nose, that the discussion will continue and that we can actually address these heinous things that continue to happen.
All right.
Indeed.
Anyway, you guys take care.
You too. Thank you for calling. You know, as anxious as I am, I know this doesn't apply to everyone, but, you know, my faith is the only thing that's keeping me solid, because when you look at this, I mean, I've got grandsons. I even have some great-grandchildren. And even for my brothers who are older, and any male of color, I'm anxious sometimes before I remember, as I see it, the Lord's got them in their hands, because this stuff happens even while we're being watched by the entire world. And you would think that the police forces, and especially these rogues, or even the ones who are running the show, and by that I mean there is discrimination in police departments. Anybody that says there isn't is a liar. These people are continuing to do this while the world's eyes upon them, and you can't wonder but think what type of evil lies in them. And for me, prayer is the only answer. It's nerve-wracking.
Well, and it's not only, you mentioned your brothers and males, but let's not forget people such as Breonna Taylor, shot in her bed. And let's not forget the numerous unnamed trans women of color who go missing and are killed and tortured. There's so much that make us afraid, and that's why it's so important that we take hold of our society. And as Sonia reminded us, it's like an orchestra. We all have our piece to play, our role to play. So I'll hold up my cymbal and tap on it while you have that bass drum, but it's all important.
Yes, indeed. It is 8:52 a.m. on Monday, August 24th.
You are listening to your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is More Talk Radio with my colleague Cecil. I am Celeste, and we have time for one more call, but I do want, before we get to the call, before I forget to say it, I want to thank you, Edie, for the thoughtful card you sent me. You know, I don't hear those kind of words maybe as often as might be helpful. No, it would be helpful. But the fact that I received the kind card and with regards to trying to model my best self and show the kind of compassion and consideration that I would like to receive to my callers, my listeners, thank you, because that helps me know that I'm on the right track. And it also, maybe you didn't mean it this way, but it holds me accountable, you know. And we all really, even if we complain, we love to be held accountable, because those of us who aspire to be more and to do more with what we have, you know, that's the only way we know it, that we're still doing good. So thank you for the card. And iron sharpens iron. In other words, you all make me better. You know, you make me better so that we can have this kind of venue. Keep calling. So, you got any last words? We got about 3, maybe 4 minutes, Cecil.
Yeah. Well, did Sonia put something in the message about their reflection about the police? And Sonia, why don't you share with us verbally?
Oh, yeah. You were saying, like, they keep acting this way even when they know there are eyes on them. And it's like, well, there have been eyes on them for at least several years now, and still nothing happens to them when they murder in plain view. And so that's the message they get. When we keep telling them you will face no meaningful consequences for murder, why should they stop?
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, I've heard lots of talk, because as you've heard me say, having worked with several police officers here in the metro area, I know that there's some good officers, but they either get tainted or they get shut down for fear of their own lives when they stand up. So what we have to do is we have to stand up and say, maybe it's time to start this whole idea from scratch. Make sure it really is public safety, and that we do really see, serve, and protect instead of collusion against misdeeds. And don't be deceived, people. You know, there's bad people in every group. So you have to be you have to be vigilant to keep things honest and compassionate. And maybe the pressure really needs to come from us. It's not just our duty as citizens, as members, as neighbors to vote. It's our duty to also hold each other accountable in the duties we swear to uphold. Go ahead, Cecil.
Well, I think, you know, it's not just about good people. When we talk about systemic oppression, and when we talk about systemic racism, it's not that there are not good people. It's just that the system is corrupt.
The system is bad.
Is bad. It needs to be dismantled. So it doesn't matter how many good people, moral people are in. If there's something wrong with the system, that needs to be dismantled, broken down, and something new has to be created.
Yes, something not reconstructed, but constructed properly. And I totally agree. You know, you got to remember that much of our political and economic systems were deliberately designed to keep those who had more receiving more. You know, because remember, back in the day, you know, the people who were supposed to be the rulers were given the fat of the land. They were educated more so than everybody else, so they would have the wisdom to lead. But, you know, as time has gone on, they've used that against us.
The system is working just as it was created.
That's right.
It's working well.
Yep, to hold the rest of us down and lift up those that have been, what is the word I want, illegally and illicitly and immorally chosen.
Wow.
That was a mouthful on that Monday.
Yes, it was. For Monday.
Yeah.
So this Monday, the 24th of August, and here in Portland, the sun is shining. So there is yet opportunity for this new week to make great changes in your communities, wherever we are. And it
depends
upon all of us.
Wash your hands. I know you want to argue about this one, but wear a mask anyway. Do something good for yourself. Do something good for your neighbor. And if you've got a dollar to spare, place it in your neighborhood so it can bounce around a few times and help everybody. And especially, I want to thank those who have taken their dollar and given it to KBOO Portland. We thank you because without you, we wouldn't exist. So you are able to help us stay around by going to kboo.fm, and that is /give. You know, or if you just go to the KBOO website, you'll see a button that says donate. And support us if you can, because we're here to keep you strong here, entertained, informed, educated, and connected. Did I hit all of them?
I think so. Thank you all. Thank you, Sonia.
Yes. Thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.